And you are on the VFL Footy Show, and it's a very good morning to Kane Pollard. Good morning, Kane.
We were just having a good old chat about the football, weren't we?
We were.
And I actually missed last night's game, but it's funny how the football media is just transcending this 2009 season. Like the Western Bulldogs, they lose three games and all of a sudden they have a win, they're back. Yep. The Bulldogs are back on top four material. I guess the papers over the weekend now will be saying Hawthorn.
Are back. Eight teams are back every week.
Exactly right. Now, I wonder what happens if Melbourne have a surprise win in during the season. Will they be back? Everyone's back.
I think Richmond and Melbourne won't be back for quite a while. But they're all back after they win. After a few losses and after a few wins, they're back. Or after one win in a lot of cases. It's amazing. All the talk will be about how Hawthorn are back. They never went anywhere. Buddy had four shadows chasing him last night, and he kicked a lazy four.
Well, they won by about 22 points.
I think. Yeah, I had the margin, right? Just didn't have the team.
I tipped the Hawks last night. I don't trust Freo as much as they had a
couple. Well, I haven't got Freo right this year. Well, seven game. What, we're eight rounds in? I've picked them wrong every week.
Now, did you see a familiar face in the studio this
Ken
morning?
Ken Moore's made an appearance.
Welcome. Hello, Kenny. He's in the studio having a chat to the Mornington Peninsula guys. Another ripper show there. Big weekend of football in the Casey Cadinia League.
Yeah, it's very good. Weather's a bit of a problem, though.
Well, yeah, you're going to be leaving us during our broadcast today out at Coburg.
Yep. Yeah, I won't be leaving you in the lurch or anything. No. Just about three-quarter time or thereabouts, I'll be jumping in the car and driving off to Geelong.
So it's going to be a big day for you. But your 50th came and went last weekend, Jim. We had a good night at the Sandringham Hotel.
We did.
We could recommend the sites to anybody.
What are the odds? I told you this last week after it happened. I saw it, but I didn't have a chance to say anything at the time. We've got to get some special comments guys that actually shut up sometimes.
Well,
good morning to special comments guys.
Yeah, Eddie and
at the halftime break at the Sandringham Northern Bull Ants game, the score for the Northern Bull Ants was 9-5-59. My birthday is 9-5-59. No, what are the odds?
We didn't pick it up at all.
I did, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to say anything.
But, we were talking about Tristan Fernandez's new program.
Yes.
Now, we probably...
Did you get a chance to view it?
No, I haven't yet.
Any reviews of it?
Well, the only review I got was from Tristan, which was very positive. But,
that's good.
I haven't spoken to the boys yet. I'm sure we'll find how they all thought. I know they were taping it all.
Phil Pearce had a good look at it, and he'll rave about it.
Well,
we'll hear about the Tristan Fernando, was it the Future Stars of the TAC Cup or something?
TAC Future Stars, I think it is. And
in about 3 years' time, we'll still be hearing about last week's program. Well, from Phil Pearce.
Tristan's producing it, so it's on from 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon after the Sunday footy show. So we'll just take everyone's word for it that it's good. I'm sure it is.
Who are the presenters?
I know Hutchie's involved.
Okay.
Also,
so they've got a big name. That's
Ben
a good
Dixon,
start.
Ben Dixon from SEN and Hawthorn, and then they've got Angela Pipos, I think, doing some interviews. So they're working with AFL Victoria, and AFL Victoria, I must thank them for their response to my Please Explain last week.
Yeah, I think it was just a communication breakdown on the day.
It's just one of those situations that we just let go through to the keeper. They're doing
we've had a few communication breakdowns along the way, and we'll stand up the next day, and we'll wake up the next day, and life goes on.
And they're doing a sterling job. But one thing we didn't mention on the program last week, Jimbo, and I wanted to bring it up at the start of the program this week, just for your thoughts on the situation that what I thought was pretty ugly for the VFL, and that was that brawl between Casey and Coburg, that I'm sure everyone listening to the program would be fully aware of. And I guess we found out last week that AFL Victoria charged the clubs $800 each.
Yeah.
Now, that as much as it's a fight, and yes, it's probably, you know, got the VFL on the front news article of the nightly news reports, but something like that is not good for anybody. And it's, I know there's some people out there that say, oh, look, it's only a scuffle and a melee. And, but when you see families and kids going out to three-quarter time and
yep.
to think that Ben Cousins already had security guards around him, this situation was quite ugly. And I think the VFL should have made a better stand on that.
And personally,
they could have been on the front foot with this mm-hmm. and, you know, presented a proper tribunal report. I'm sure there would have been people that have never seen the VFL all of a sudden see Casey and Coburg going at it and wanting to know what would have come from it, because they know in the AFL we'd be still hearing about it 3 weeks later.
Yep.
It would appear on a DVD.
Yep.
So, yeah, $800 each. It's crumbs.
Pretty pathetic. The two teams that were involved, based on the fact that it was at three-quarter time,
mm.
You've got to do something about that. It's unhealthy. You can't have people... The problem with the VFL is you can have people coming onto the ground, which is a great thing for the VFL. You can't have two teams having an all-in. Admittedly, there were probably no punches thrown or anything unsavoury, but you had two teams pushing and shoving each other, not on the friendliest of terms. They weren't cuddling. And you got families, you got kids, you got single people, you got me, you got you.
You
don't know the mindset of these other people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been riots.
Well, I mean, like, it's disturbing. I mean, even out in our area, as Brad Kingsbury, you know, mentioned on his program, mm-hmm. last year's grand final, he had to be, in the case of getting in the league, had to be stopped. As much as it was a blown out margin, it had to be stopped due to a situation in the crowd. Now, I just think they could have just made a stand. I mean, I don't necessarily think that players should have been suspended in any way or anything like that.
20,000, 18,000 of it suspended.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you there's no money. They've and lost then, no money. But if you do something wrong in the next... for the rest of the season, okay, it's going to cost you $18,000.
Yeah,
no appeal.
And it could have been, you know, the lead article on Tuesday, Peter Swab comes out and, you know, charges Casey and Cadinia, like you said, $20,000 suspended sentence.
Yeah, I mean, a suspended sentence is better.
$800.
Yeah, I know, $800. When I was actually
there's players
on
the field.
It.
There's players in that melee who make more than $800 in the VFL.
I know. The problem is, you've got people coming in from the spectator area.
Well, if you had a loony tune,
might not be a little, you know,
yeah,
they
if
might
you had a
not
loony
be,
tune yeah. that had a bit of amber fluid in him and
that's
walked
right.
out a three quarter time,
could
and
have belted somebody.
Exactly, and it could have just spilled out anywhere.
I mean, I'm not going to say I've done this because I haven't.
You're fiery, Jimbo.
At the
best of times,
I've absolutely gone stupid with the alcohol. I've gone, you know, I'm near brain dead. I've gone out on the ground. I absolutely hate Ben Cousins.
Yeah.
I go and King hit him.
Exactly.
Who's at fault there?
I know.
Not the person. Everyone's at fault. So stop the situation now. I mean, that's a hypothetical situation. But who knows, it could happen. Unfortunately, it didn't happen on this occasion. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the future.
So,
and let's hope it doesn't happen in the future.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah. Of course, yeah. So it's around.
Yeah, that's the extreme, by the way. Not, you know, I'm only picking the extremes. Yeah, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen.
You have to, if you work on a worst-case scenario, you're going to be safe in those situations. Yep. But it is round six of the VFL now. That was two rounds ago.
Having said that, do not stop the people going out on the ground at three-quarter time and quarter time. That is one of the great things about the VFL.
Oh, it keeps the suburban football suburban, doesn't it?
Yep, we want that to happen.
So
that's not negotiable.
we're not saying there's an issue with that at all.
Yep. Because we're not blaming the spectators here.
No.
The spectators are at zero fault.
I'm just questioning the response from AFL Victoria, that's all.
Yep, that's it. And our response is, you should have done something about it.
And I know the clubs are not in a financial position like the AFL clubs. This is insane. They should have come down and gone mm-hmm. bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
Maybe even a personal fine for the instigators. I think it was Newton and Jake King that started it. And Jake King was in it a couple of times. Well, if he's going to carry on like that in the footy field, he should be reprimanded. But anyway, it didn't happen. And it's just disappointing to think that's the only way the VFL can get on the front news article. Yep. At least it was on there, I guess.
Yep. We're at round six.
We are at round six. And it's the season's starting to really shape now, isn't it? With I guess there's not much separating. I think it's third and 10th, is it, at the moment, with a lot of teams on 2 wins, but the bye...
Yeah, I forgot to print out the ladder.
Okay.
That computer out there, it really needs a sledgehammer.
Well, we'll...
It closed me down when I was doing the goal kicking, and it closed me down when I was doing the ladder, believe it or not.
So who's going to be our guest today? I know we've got Gary Ayres on soon.
Brendan Moulton's on about now.
Okay.
Yep. I should throw to a break, shouldn't we, and go and get a...
Well, yeah, it's...
Ryan O'Connor did ring me back, but I was on my way home, and there wasn't any message taken. So what we got either Ryan O'Connor or Jade Rollins.
Oh, okay.
Rollins, same thing, is it?
Yeah. Well, who do we know? We don't know.
We've got to ring Ryan O'Connor and say, who we got?
Have we got Gary Ayres as well joining us?
No, we haven't got Gary Ayres today. Next week.
Oh, next week.
Yep.
So just Brendan Bolton.
He doesn't know that yet. No, okay. Brendan Bolton's on now.
Soon. Yep. Box Hill coach.
And at 9:45, we're really going to speak to Ryan O'Connor or Jade Rollins.
But just before, we'll cross the break in about 5. We'll give Brendan a call in about 5 because we get to call the Box Hill Hawks this weekend.
We do.
Against KC Scorpions. That's the reason for Brendan Bolton joining us on the program on the Saturday morning VFL football show. We were lucky enough to speak to him back in 2006. I wonder if he remembers us.
When he was a Tasmanian.
Yes.
Or Taswegian or whatever they call themselves these days.
And... it's just, yeah, the ebbs and flows at the moment, the season. There's no real direct form line. For tipsers, it's been a tricky sort of mission. I think I've only got 17 tips or something so far for the season, Jim, and you're on 18.
Oh, okay. I must have got 3 on the weekend.
You got 3, I got 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I tipped Geelong. And,
I was stupid enough not to, but then again, you were stupid enough to tip them.
Well, I tipped Sandringham as well. They nearly got over the line. Some really good games of football last weekend, I thought. Really even contests.
Yep, 2 blowouts and 3 absolute cliffhangers.
Now, you can actually podcast this, and it's on VFLfooty.com for all VFL heads out there that are already registered. If you're not registered and you tune into the program and you want to have a bit of a chat about the VFL and probably meet some people that go to the games, and, you know, everyone on the website generally contributes to the better good about the VFL, some interesting stuff on there. So that's VFLfooty.com, and you can check out the 97.7 FM podcast. Download and listen, and I thought the call on Saturday's podcast is pretty good. So
good.
You can jump on there and have a listen to the final quarter where Sandringham get back to within a goal, and they should have won the game if it wasn't for David Armitage.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else missed as well in that last quarter. They had 2 misses.
Sure.
And that was a good game of football in that third quarter between the Bulldogs and Sandringham. Sandringham really did come back without Nick Sortner, who's done a quad.
And weren't we blessed on Sunday?
Sunday?
The quality of the game, Williamstown versus Frankston.
Yeah, definitely.
And it definitely was a Williamstown versus Frankston. They were at it all day.
We spoke about this last week, and we'll continue to speak about it until I read an article that they've reached it. Frankston have a target of 2,000 members for the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to really rally some support financially and make sure this club stays in the VFL and on its feet. So... if you're tuning in and you're in the KC area, we spoke to one of the guys after the broadcast, and the memberships are $70, which you probably get about 10 home games down there at Frankston, and it probably entitles you to some other benefits as being a club, being a Frankston Football Club member. So make sure you give the club a call or check out, I think it's frankstonfc.com.au, and make sure you get behind the Dolphins and really support their club because they need all the money they can get at the moment. And they need to make sure their survival is in place. So it is getting down to that point now for the Dollies. So if you are a passionate Frankston supporter, even past or present, make sure you get behind and support that footy club. Jimbo, this weekend we've got 2 broadcast games. We'll go through round 6 in more detail a little bit later on the program. But today we're at Coburg versus Collingwood. Could be a really good game of football today. Collingwood having a couple of injuries. We'll stretch some of the depth, but... Daniel Frost last week picked up 38 possessions.
That's a pretty good effort.
So he's in...
He didn't play in the games we've called, has he?
Yeah, he played 1.
Okay.
Didn't play that well. And so, yeah, Daniel Frost is in pretty good form, so it gives the opportunity for some of those.
He's a former KC player, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He followed Nigel Carmody over to Collingwood and looks a little bit like Dale Thomas. He's the VFL Dale Thomas in that Collingwood outfit. So it was him and young Danny, I think his name was Danny, was it Danny Nichols or Billy Nichols? I think it may have been Billy Nichols.
It definitely was. One of them. It wasn't Bill Nichols.
Are you sure? I think Billy Nichols used to play. What's his, might be Danny Nichols.
Billy Nichols played for Richmond, I think.
He did.
Box Hill went to Richmond, I'm sure. But, or was it Hawthorn to Richmond?
Well, then I
whatever
think,
it was definitely...
I think, I'll have to check it. I think it's Danny Nichols. You've thrown me now, but I don't know if he's on the Collingwood list, but those two players were definitely two standouts in 2008 for Collingwood list of players. They lost Crow, so the depth of that Collingwood side will be tested today going up against Coburg, who will be keen for a win, as always, and back to ABD Stadium for the first time, so really looking forward to that. And then on Sunday, we've got Casey versus the Box Hill Hawks out there at Casey Field, so that should be an interesting game of footy.
It is. Funny thing is, these two teams have played 9 times since 2009. The home team has won on every occasion.
Is this Coburg and Box Hill? Casey
Box Hill. 9 home wins.
Well, Casey...
Doesn't matter where they play, the home team always wins.
Casey and even like to the later part of Springvale, I miss their premiership dynasties in terms of having factual knowledge, but the Scorpions have never really travelled well. And Box Hill City Oval would be probably one of the tougher venues in the competition there at Middlesbrough Road. So that doesn't surprise me a little bit. But Casey Fields, they had that cauldron, didn't they, there for a while. They've lost a couple of games there. But yeah. I think if you were to go through Casey Scorpions' history at Casey Fields, there'd be wins in the high 60s or 70%, I reckon.
Did you call the first game at Casey Fields against Box Hill?
Mm.
Did you remember the guy at centre half forward, Buddy Franklin?
Well, my memories of Buddy playing for Box Hill was that day at Box Hill City Oval when he picked the ball up in the back pocket and he just ran past everybody.
Yep.
And there was about four guys.
Joined the Louis.
It was like a rugby scrum. It was like a rugby match. Yeah. All of a sudden, everyone was just chasing Buddy and they couldn't get him. And he's just running in circles and around. Oh, it was.
He did a similar thing at Casey Fields in the inaugural game. At Casey Fields, he just dominated the whole game. Casey won the game, but Buddy Franklin was definitely Buddy Franklin that day.
I think
that was the first time I ever saw a player dominate the VFL.
And
unfortunately, they lost. Well, fortunately, depending on the way you look at it.
I remember a game in one of the finals for Sandringham when Brad Miller took about 15 marks. It was like a performance like that. He just destroyed him, but... But he's just an enigma, and he's having probably a little bit, I'm not going to say disappointing year, because he's kicked a few goals, but he's not having the same impact as he did in 2008. But, you hear Gary Ablett and you hear Chris Judd when they talk about best players in the competition. I don't think we've seen the best from Buddy.
Not yet, and he kicked 4 last night.
A lazy 4.
He probably didn't even get a mention in the best. But he was okay.
Super coach, I'm in trouble this weekend.
No, you're not. Not sure. You've used 5 players already.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, you already checked my score, haven't you?
I checked last night. It came out really quick. About 2 minutes after the game finished, all the scores updated, which was really good.
What am I on?
I think you're on about 421, and I'm on 459.
But I've got 2 big zeros there with Bock and Higgins sitting on the ground, so...
I checked the teams on Thursday night. Manny Maguire... picked for St Kilda. Absolutely brilliant. Checked the paper yesterday. No Maguire.
He's not playing.
He's not playing. After his 5 goals last week, absolutely vice-like grip.
What does Goose have to do to get a game at St Kilda?
I reckon he's played the best game of the season for an individual.
He played in the ruck. He played out of position at centre-half forward. He went back with the fly to the footy.
He almost single-handedly won Sandringham the game.
But I noticed
there was no Sautner in the side, so he had to make up for Nick not playing.
But I remember at times he was grabbing at his groin, wasn't he, just a little bit?
Oh, I don't know.
So maybe...
I reckon he's going to kick 20 goals.
We have to make a stand and try and get Goose back in the St Kilda footy side.
Because he's in my dream team.
Well, it's not so much that he's in your dream team. He is playing football at a higher level at the moment.
Yeah.
If he can go to centre half forward and battle with Adam Hartlett and kick 5 goals and Hartlett still have a good game and get pushed in the back about 5 times.
Yep. Now I actually checked this with Michael Lovett yesterday to make sure he wasn't in the side, that it wasn't a typo. He was actually not in the side.
So it was
disappointing after he played such a dominating game. And those hands.
Yeah.
I reckon once he's got the ball, he ain't losing it.
Well,
that's bad English.
There's one player that is in the same ilk this season, and that's Matt Moore. He's got sticky fingers.
Yep, and he's not even a known player.
Casey Scorpion, centre-half forward.
Yep, we'll be seeing him tomorrow.
You want to see, if you like seeing contested pack marks, go to the footy and watch Maguire and watch Matt Moore in action at the moment, because those boys are taking some
very good,
very good contested marks.
Yep.
Well, we've covered our thoughts for the day. Now, I haven't actually got to mention this yet, Jim, so I won't go into round six just yet, because very sad news. I checked online yesterday, and the passing of Bud Tingwell, and very famous Australian actor. He's, I know, I'll have very fond memories of Bud, especially in movies like The Castle, and been in quite a few Australian dramas in recent time. I know it's not talking about football here, but, very sad news in the passing of Bud Tingwell, and I think he was 86, I was told this morning, so he's had a pretty fair dig. Jimbo, you would have seen him in quite a few movies, Bud Tingwell.
Definitely, yes. One of Australia's icon actors.
So he was actually working up to 2 weeks before his passing. So, very sad news for Bud Tingwell's family. And, everyone will have their thoughts with them at the moment. And, he was a fantastic actor for Australian television. So Australian television will be definitely for the worse of the passing of Bud Tingwell. But going back to the VFL football, and joining us for the first time in 2009 is the Box Hills coach, Brendan Bolton. Welcome to the Saturday Morning VFL Footy Show, Brendan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I actually remember having an interview, a bit of a chat with you back in 2006 when you were donning different colours, but it's been a bit of a journey and you've ended up back at Box Hill.
Yeah, no, it's been a bit of a journey coming over from Tasmania, but something I've had a great ambition to try and develop as a coach, so having the opportunity to learn in the Hawthorn environment and then apply some of the methodologies at Box Hill has been a really exciting change for me.
Well, what are some of the differences you've noticed since coming from Tassie, Brendan? We spent some time as an assistant coach going into the coaching role. What have you noticed the changes dealing with the Box Hill Hawks and obviously the Hawthorn Football Club?
Oh, listen, just the willingness to want to learn over here is fantastic. They're always analysing games on what worked well, what didn't, why and why not. So it's just an environment where they're focused on continual improvement. That's something I've really noticed over here. So, that's the sort of environment I like to work within. And obviously the change from Tasmania, just externally, is the traffic. Oh, it's a huge change in terms of a busy lifestyle.
So whereabouts are you living? Are you living in the city or out in the suburbs?
No, I'm living in Peran, so
I'm right up in amongst it.
Waverley, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So, I guess, Brendan, are you involved with the Hawthorn Football Club? Do you have a role there, or just coaching?
Yeah, no, I'm doing some of the development there with David Flood. So, that's really pleasing.
Okay, I guess being involved with the development side of things really does give you an opportunity to see some of those youngsters come through for the Box Hill Hawks.
Yeah, for sure, and being able to work with the Hawthorn listed players that play at Box Hill during the week just really helps to build the relationship. And I think both parties, Box Hill and Hawthorn, have made a real effort this year to try and get some culture together and move forward as a group.
Now, I guess when you took over the reins, it does give the club to start fresh. Some of their bigger names from, the big recruits of 2008, Brendan in Dig Murrell and also Alistair Neville. They've both left the club, so it's a fresh breed of talent coming through and did some handy recruiting and picking up some really good experience in Adam Uze and Sam Iles.
Yeah, I think that's something that was really refreshing both for myself and the playing group this year, that I came in with, I suppose, a blank canvas and I had no preconceived ideas of many of them. So, they started to build their footy future by day one when I walked in, so it was really refreshing for them. And for me, the club gave me a blank canvas in terms of recreating a positive learning environment. So, that's been really refreshing. And to get some people like Sammy Iles and Adam Uze, they've just provided great leadership for the young guys as well. Sammy's pretty young himself, but in terms of the way he plays, he's got a really mature head on his shoulders.
Well, I guess that fresh start has really turned Box Hill's fortune around, because they've been traditionally slow starters in the last few seasons of football and unfortunately have missed out the finals in recent years. But you've started well, 2-2, you must be happy with the start.
Yeah, I was really pleased with our first couple of games. The last few weeks obviously were losses, but we just didn't turn up with the intensity that we did in the first few games. And that's all a mindset. And I think with a young team, sometimes that there's ebbs and flows. But if we can maintain some consistency and approach the game the same as we did at the start of the year, I think we'll have a reasonable season.
Now, Brendan, when Marco Bello looks like he looked pretty fit for the pre-season, that must have brought a smile to your face when he decided to pull on the jumper again for the Box Hill Hawks.
Yeah, no, we selectively went out to get Marco because obviously he's been in a very successful environment in Adelaide, and he's had a great playing career himself. But more importantly, he's a real mentor and coach for our players, and there's nothing better than having some people who've experienced success doing that, and that goes the same for Adam Uzo as well.
Now, Brendan, your background is a little bit different in terms of getting into coaching. Like, there are some other channels to, I guess, lead into this path. Just explain to some of the KC Radio listeners your background and what is your driving passion of being a coach?
Yeah, my background is being a teacher. I've obviously played football down in Tasmania and played in the VFL a little bit early days when Tassie were still in the VFL. Played a lot of my footy in the statewide league for North Launceston, but moved to Hobart. And started coaching at quite a young age, at 24, for North Hobart. And then, obviously, a really great mix. I'm trained to educate, and then footy's my passion. So, linking those two, it fits really nicely. And, you know, I just love being able to see people develop. I don't really put any limits on people. I think one of my main philosophies is everyone can develop. But the coach's job is being able to provide the environment to allow that. So, yeah, I really enjoy coaching. It's not like I turn up to go to work. I just turn up to go to footy.
Now, what's your take on the Tasmanian situation? Just moving away from the Box Hill Hawks for a moment, do you think they should have stayed in the VFL, or are you supporting this the state league that they've developed down there in Tasmania in 2009?
Well, I played in the statewide when it was 10 years ago, I suppose, now. And it was a fantastic concept, and it was really strong. I think it'll take a little while to strengthen to what it was before. However, I think what's important is they have a really strong talent pathway aligned to the statewide league, and provided that those channels and avenues are really strong still, I think it can be successful.
But I took it that if Tasmania are pushing for an AFL side, which, you know, they definitely deserve, do you think having a team competing in a not so much a national, but a pretty big competition, the VFL, would have put them better standing? Or do you think building the roots that you're mentioning there and really starting to get the channels of Tasmanian football back on its feet, do you think that's more positive for Tasmania football, I guess, football future?
Well, listen, I was a real supporter of Tasmania in the VFL. I think, yep, it gave, and also the Tassie Mariners, to be honest, it gave them a real aim and gave them the opportunity to compete against some real quality players. But I think just to rebuild and take stock, I think it's a positive move to have the statewide league. But I would have thought if something like the Mariners was still about, that would be really positive if the VFL wasn't an option for them. Just something to give the talent an opportunity to compete against some of the quality over here.
How have you found coaching with the alignment? Obviously, you're involved with the Hawthorn Football Club, as you mentioned previously, but the injuries must be really starting to just stretch in terms of Hawthorn players being available for the Box Hill side, and give some opportunities from some young fellas to step into those roles and see how they go at senior level.
Yeah, for sure. We haven't had a big contingent of Hawthorn listed players at all this year, but in saying that, I never look at the negative side of that. What it's been is a great chance for a lot of our Box Hill listed players, as you said, to learn and develop. So, you know, in the back half of the season, I would have thought that our list only gets stronger, provided the injuries on the Hawthorn list start to improve. So, you know, I think all our boys are wrapped. They've got the opportunity to play and really develop. So that should stand us in good stead for the rest of the season.
And Adam Uzo is returning from injury, I've seen. Will he play this weekend?
He'll play. He was touch and go to play last week, but he's someone we wouldn't take a risk with. So he wasn't quite right last week. So this week he'll definitely run out and play.
Now, my statistician across from me here, Brendan, Jim Hines, has given me some info that Box Hill and Casey have never won away from home when competing against each other. Going down the Casey Fields, it's a fresh start. Can you think you can turn that around this weekend against the Scorpions?
No, listen, we go into every game wanting to win, and but I think that the focus for a young group's got to be on how you go about that. So some of our intensity measures, the things that we measure quarter to quarter, have got to improve. If they don't improve, then who knows what the result will be. But I'm thinking we've got the right mindset this week. But Casey are a fantastic outfit. I watched them the other week play, and I thought Wall was really impressive. He played a bit on the wing, and Newton up forward, and Matthews, there's some players there that we've got to keep a real close eye on.
So is that where you think it's going to be won? If you can stop their forwards from firing, Newton last week kicking 5 goals for the Scorpions is always pretty dangerous around goals.
Yeah, he's a terrific. When he can lead up and mark the footy, I think he's a really dangerous player. So it's important to be able to nullify his impact on the game for sure. But they've got some fantastic midfielders as well. So, yeah. You know, I would have thought the game's won in the midfield at the moment.
What's your strong points? Where do you think you can get over the Scorpions? You mentioned the midfield being a clinching point in the game, but where do you think you can beat the Casey Scorpions at home?
Well, I just think we've got to play some really more intelligent football. The last few weeks we've rushed a little bit. We are a fast running side, but at times you need to be a little bit patient. So if we can just control the tempo of the game a little more, I think that puts us right in the hunt. But in saying that, Casey have been in some great form, so I think it'll be a really close game.
Brendan, the next couple of weeks will be interesting for the Box Hill Hawks. Just going through here, you've got Frankston at home, which will probably be the ABC game there, so on the big screen, and then following Port Melbourne. So you play the two standalone clubs in the next couple of weeks, and a bit of a test with the Scorpions, obviously, this weekend.
Yeah, I think every game in VFL footy is a tough one, so sometimes you can just look at the results prior and think, oh, yeah, I'm a chance here, but I think that's quite foolish. All the teams are really competitive and strong, and it's important that we turn up with a strong mindset week to week.
What were your goals when you took over the reins at the Box Hill Hawks for this season, Brendan? Was it to get the Mustangs or the Box Hill Hawks back into the finals?
I think every coach, when they take over, is aiming for finals. There's no doubt about that. That's still the unknown. I think you've always got to have that shining light of finals. We're unsure whether or not that actually happens or not. That's not saying that we're worried about how we're going. It's just the focus is on the process. But you've got to have that aim and goal there to be in the finals, and we hope that comes through towards the end of the year.
Well, it's a big opportunity this weekend, Brendan, with both teams sitting on 2 wins. A win could really propel you into that top 8, because it's a bit of a logjam there at the moment. But good luck on the weekend against the Casey Scorpions, and thanks for joining us here on the VFL Footy Show.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate the support. Thank you.
Brendan Bolton there, the Box Hill coach, and always great to have a chat to Brendan, and positive things happening at the Box Hill Hawks. I'm sure Stanger out there in Boronia would have enjoyed that chat, and I'm glad that we are getting out there and getting to watch the Box Hill Hawks for the first time in 2009.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Unfortunately, WBC.
That's it.
Has priority over all the Box Hill games, which is great.
They know
they're going to get every single game broadcast on live on radio, which is a magnificent thing for Box Hill Football Club.
I think more community stations in their local area could get behind and broadcast their local VFL side.
Yep. And we have no problems with that. The more Box Hill get on the airwaves, the better.
Yeah, as long as we've got a calling position, yep. Casey Radio's happy. We don't mind who's doing it. As long as it's getting done and the message of the VFL's out there and really supporting this competition, Jimbo. Yep. So that was Brendan Bolton.
Yep, and good news, we will be speaking to Jade Rollins in a few minutes.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be good.
Oh.
Because we're heading off to Coburg this afternoon.
That's a bit of a good one to get. So full of guests here this morning on round 6 of the Saturday morning VFL footy show on KC Radio 97.7 FM. You're with Kane Pollard and Jim Hines. Jimbo, we spoke to Jared Fitzgerald just a couple of weeks ago here on the Saturday morning breakfast show, and they were saying they were looking forward to the big game there at Eureka Stadium round 7 against the KC Scorpions, but I'm reading off the wires here that will not go ahead. So they're still having some problems with the surface there.
Okay. Which relocated to
Eastern Oval.
Where's that?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll endeavour to find out where the Eastern Oval is. Could be in Ballarat.
It's in Ballarat somewhere there, but it doesn't actually say. So a little bit disappointing there for the reigning premiers. I'm sure they were looking to get Eureka Stadium up and going, but as we've seen with Casey Fields, these things do take time, and unfortunately, yep, with the summer conditions the way they were, they couldn't get the grass cover which they required, and you prefer them not to be playing there than to play and get injured.